back with the Iron Claw Cast. I believe this is
episode. I don't like it. I don't like it, Dennis. I like it like this. Cut me off if it's bad, and you do it. Okay. What's up, everybody? All you claw maniacs? No. What is it? You're blowing it right now.
The Iron Claw.
Okay. Shoot. How about this?
Wait, okay. Listen. You have the Hulkamaniacs. My friend Alex Hammerstone has the Hammerheads. And if you're a Von Erich fan, you're the Von Airheads.
All right, how about this? Out
there. Let's not do that.
Okay. Welcome to the Iron Claw Cast. I'm D-Man, your host, and I'm friggin' pissed off because these two jackasses over to my right are making me take this call from my condo instead of being out by the lake again, and it's nice weather again. But instead, Marshall doesn't want me on the mud, and you know what? You got a new nickname now, Marshall. Your name is called Mud Pit. Mud Pit Marshall, and people are going to know you by Mud Pit starting now.
Okay, D-Man or D-Hit.
He's been pushing for that for a while. I don't think it's going to take off, man. But
no way.
Yeah. Good luck.
Well, now that's over. We have a great show for everybody. I don't know what D-Man's talking about.
Well,
but
frankly,
you guys pitched a temper tantrum.
You guys just knock it off for a second. Let's. Okay, no fighting for like 5 minutes.
I want to look as distinguished as Ross. Okay, now I have my glasses
on. You got Clark Kent, and we got
Sorry. No need to go to the cartoons, the dog.
Where are your glasses, Marshall?
I don't need them. The doctor said I was so smart that I don't need glasses to fake my smartness.
I told the guy, I was like, I need something to make me look smart. And he was like all stressed out. Like, I don't know if we have anything big or thick enough to pull that off, but here we are. Okay.
Well, they look so stylish on you that I'm taking mine off because I cannot rock that look as good as you look. You look damn handsome, man. You're looking good, buddy. Let's talk about you, not Mud Pit over there, but you, because you are, you're
why. Let's talk about these questions. How about that? Let's talk about these questions.
You're why I came into the studio today from the lake into the studio for you, Ross.
I feel like I'm always the peacemaker, the middleman between you guys.
Yeah, I know we'll all get along. Dennis, shut your mouth. So here's the first question. So we sent out a claw tweet.
Let's call it a tweet.
Okay, that's nice. Okay. So, all right, our Clawcast fans, let us know what question you have for us, and we'll answer it. Also, we will take questions for Pam Von Erich, my mother, his mother, allegedly his mother, and
adopted mother.
We'll read the answers off for everyone. So my mom couldn't make it on the show, so we're gonna throw some of remember what she said and recite it to you guys. We wrote down some stuff. So the first question from Connect TV USA: how was it like raising future tag team champions? This is my favorite question. Great question. Oh. This just in, everybody. Pam Von Erich just walked in.
Whoa! Mom.
Okay. She refuses to come on camera.
She's holding my son, so she doesn't want to be on camera. Yeah,
it's off camera.
They can hear you, Mom. They can hear you. Yeah, she's holding salt.
Okay, let's cut to the chase.
Mom, what was it like raising one and a half handsome young tag team champions? One and a half. Two. What is it like?
It was great. I loved every minute of it. Both of you guys were listening.
It was great. She loved every minute of it. Both of us are
good athletes.
Good athletes.
Good communicators.
I wouldn't say good communicators.
That's a stretch, but thank you.
I do my talking with my muscles. Okay. Next question. Great answer, Mom. Can you hear, Mom, or do you want us to keep?
It's a little faint, but if you guys can do a good job, or Mom can talk up a little bit.
What are your early memories of Grandpa Fritz? Thanks. And that's from Paul Rogers.
Oh, he was just a gracious man. He made everyone feel welcome and just really sincerely loved people.
He was a gracious man, made everybody feel welcomed and extremely sincere.
That's super cool.
That's a great
cool one. That's cool to get your perspective.
I know. Oh, Sassy Shan. She has a question. Are you having Miss Pam on an episode? That's not really. I'm sorry, guys. That wasn't really a question.
Get it right, Marshall.
Trisha Ann, 1973. Shut your mouth, Dennis. Hi, Pam. How did you and Kev meet? That's one question. There's a couple of them in there.
Dennis, can you hear me?
Yeah, Pam, I can hear you. You're a little faint, but we can hear you okay.
I'm going to grab you a chair.
No, is this
Hey, we're going to cut to a commercial break. I'm going to grab a chair for my mom.
So, Marshall, when you had your wedding celebration, did you have a DJ for it?
I did. I had the DJ, DJ D-Man, and it was epic. I was there. It was good.
Was the dance floor packed?
That dance floor was hopping and popping. People lit, as they say.
There's people that don't dance. And when the DJ started a pumping, they started a jumping.
That's actually really good. So if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you need a DJ for your party or event, Marshall Ross, who would you recommend people to call?
DJ D-Man, man.
DJ D-Man or DJ DJ D-Man. That's who I'd want.
At 817-233-5646. Because, guys, with DJ D-Man, there's never any parking on the what?
Dance floor.
Perfect. You win.
So the next question is, did I read off the first one from Trisha N, 1973? How did you and Kevin meet?
Yeah, I didn't answer.
Oh, okay, didn't. Okay, so how did you and Dad meet?
I saw him at track meets and football games for his younger brothers and basketball games.
Oh, he's at all the.
Oh yeah, he was always at his brothers' anything that they were doing, and I just thought he was so handsome.
How could you not? I mean, the guy's we talk about this all the time with my dad. Wow. He's like doesn't care at all what he looks like or tries, and he's like chiseled, perfect, good looking, and he like has the worst diet advice, the worst workout advice, because he's such a freak of nature. I'm gonna make the dog be quiet.
Okay,
well, quiet, Suki.
Pam, I got a question for you. You went to school. Did you go to school with Carrie? Was Carrie a classmate?
Yeah, Carrie, Dave, and Mike. Carrie, David, and Mike.
We're all Carrie classmates.
He was a grade older. Dave was 3 grades older, and Mike was 2 grades younger. No, 1 grade younger.
And let me guess, if anybody was a class clown, it would have been Carrie. Is that correct?
Yes, Carrie was so funny. Mike, too. I mean, all of them. You know, they all had their different personalities, and that Mike had so many friends. Everybody was just loved him. Carrie would, he was just so popular. And I remember in 4th grade, you would carry an ID bracelet, right? And then you give it to your girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and he was walking up and down the aisle, like tossing it, like, who is he going to pick today?
What girl's next?
Yeah. And girls really like that. Their mom would call Carrie's mom and say, it's my daughter's turn to wear that bracelet.
Yeah, they would call my grandmother and say, it's my daughter's turn, you know, to wear that bracelet. That's pretty cool to, at that young of an age to be that much of a ladies' man.
Yeah, he was so funny.
Okay, here's one I'm curious about, too. What's your secret on having a long and happy marriage? Also from Trisha, you got one more.
I'm a Christian, I just rely a lot on prayer. That's what I've always done.
Perfect. Yeah, a good answer.
Yeah,
that's a good answer.
It just makes you stronger, and God will give you wisdom that you need at the right time. And I couldn't have done it any other way. And I think Kevin needed that that solid foundation.
Yeah, you've always been kind of like the backbone of the family as far
she
as
spiritually. Oh yeah, she's a glue. And you know, a lot of people. I don't know if we've talked about it a lot, but my mom is, especially growing up when we were younger, she always, I know everyone says, like, she believed me from the beginning, but she really did tell us we were going to be, like, wrestlers and great, and we're going to be used one day and all this stuff. And it was kind of hard to see it at a young age. Like, of course, being a wrestler would be a dream come true. That would be awesome. But then when we first got sent off to Japan, like, whoa, mom's been saying this for a long time.
Yeah, when we were little kids, she would, you know, be tucking us in, saying, you know, you're going to do great things and, you know, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And always
mom's famous line is you're going to be kings like your father. And that's when we're like 4 and 5 and stuff. And, you know, as a kid, you're like, yeah, I'm going to be. But then in high school hits and have a couple failures, you're
life
like,
hits, reality.
You're so young, you just still don't know. But God has planned.
we're learning, we're figuring it out. But right now we're wrestlers and we love it. It's a lot of fun. Miss Catherine Gray.
I love her.
Says, give a huge shout out from us all, please.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to address this later from Brent Stein about Jim Cornette talking about our cousin Lacey. We're going to address that. The next question is from Brad Cook. As we are near Mother's Day, I would love to hear Pam talk about her relationship with Doris and how they both balanced home life. Growing up in Lake Dallas, remember a billboard on I-35 just past the catfish farm and had an advertisement for Doris Atkinson, real estate agent.
Really? She did that?
No, I don't. Maybe it was
before. I feel like she told me she did before.
Oh, she did?
I thought she did.
I don't know. But our relationship, I tell you that everybody that met her, just, she was a woman of faith too. And I just admired her so. And she just gave you the best, most sound advice, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And that's really, I'd say I would accredit a lot of that to her, my strength to her. You know?
Yeah, at that young age, it's probably an important role to have your daughter-in-law, mother-in-law relationship. Yeah.
And Mimi, you know, she writes about it. If you haven't read the Von Erich Family Album, it's a cool book. But when she talks about my Uncle Jackie passing away at 6 years old, that's so heavy. You know, like my son's 1.5, and like right now he's just getting his personality and you're seeing who he is as a person. And at 6 years old, you really know who they are as a person. And to lose that must be like devastating. My grandpa elaborates on it. That's why I was reading that book, was so nice, because it was like talking to my grandmother and grandfather for the first time in like 18, 19 years,
yeah,
you know?
And, you know, while it's still fresh.
While it's still fresh, because it just happened. And it was actually before my Uncle Mike had passed away. It was just my Uncle Dave had passed away, and they were like gathering themselves from that, and it brought them closer. And
no, Dave.
No, in that book, just in the book.
Okay. And, yeah, I mean, they wrote the book, and that's what they talked
about. Yeah, it was just when Uncle David passed. But yeah. My grandpa was saying how it just sucks the life out of you, and you question everything. You question God, and I wonder, how is this good? Where can this be? But he said that it seasoned them a little bit, like, to hold close to each other, enjoy the days. You don't get days back. And so, yeah, it was just really cool to read that. And here I am.
Here's a tag on question on the subject of Doris. And this is from Christy Mays. And she wrote, Pam, any advice passed down from Doris that has helped you being the matriarch of the family? Either relationships of, you know, with the husband, sons in the wrestling business, or having a large family in general. Any advice from Doris on any of those subjects?
She always told me that I was a wife first. And as long as the children grow up in a home where the mother and father love one another, yes, you'll fight, you'll have disagreements, but bottom line, your kids know you're still there, you know?
So you do want your kids to think you guys love each other. Yeah. Shoot, I gotta write that down.
Yeah, write that down, Marshall, real slow, and reread it a couple times.
Pause it, come on, Dennis.
Hey, I'll talk to you later, Dennis.
And wipe that mud off the paper. Okay, very good.
Okay, well, I think that that will give your children a stable home. I don't know, but just like I said.
That's probably important to development, yeah, just to see that dynamic.
Yeah.
Okay, I love this question. Good question, Debbie. Wrestlers have their own theme songs as they enter the ring. Mom, what would yours be? Dang. That's a problem. I'm guessing it'd be Welcome to the Jungle, but
I have no idea.
Really? Mom, what gets
come on. Put on the spot right now.
What makes you want to throw blows?
You got to pick something.
What makes you just want
to? What makes you, what do you listen to and you just like, I'm fighting somebody?
Strumwork.
You'd have to know my mom too.
Hey, she's terrible temper.
How about Gloria Gaynor? I will survive.
I will survive.
There you
That's
go.
Funny. That's okay. Yeah, but you can pick it.
Okay. So there's no answer on that.
No, that was my suggestion. I didn't want to talk for you, Pam. I'm just saying that's a great suggestion.
Well, you did, Dennis. You did. So thank you.
I said you can pick it, Dennis.
Okay. All right. Pam's song when she comes out to the ring for the Celebrity Death Match is going to be Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. Here comes Pam walking down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Mom. What's your favorite or most funny memory during your courtship with Dad prior to marriage?
Yeah, man, y'all got in like legal trouble? Y'all went to court?
Yeah, what's the funniest memory you can think of?
No, I don't know if it was funny, but I was waiting like for him to pick me up for, it was New Year's Eve. Remember, it was like 9 o'clock.
He never showed up.
Right.
He called what?
Me.
Really?
Yeah, he called me and said, oh, I don't go out on New Year's Eve.
You know, what? Said, oh, Kevin really? Flaked out on a date?
Dang.
No, he does not go anywhere on New Year's Eve. I just assumed.
You just must have understood how he was back then, even then.
Most girls were.
Oh,
like,
I was so mad. Get that I did guy. Not like it.
You were mad about it?
Yeah, I didn't.
But you didn't act like it. You know, my Uncle Kerry like coached my mom because my dad's so different and weird. And I was like, really like not high standards, but he just like is really particular, and he was like, he would like pump my mom up like the night before a date, and he's like, this is what you got to do, make sure you do this, don't care about this, you know, and don't act too clingy, you know. And so she's like, got it. And she was actually like best friends with Uncle Kerry.
Yeah, we were such close friends. Yeah,
yeah. You're in the same class, or he's younger?
No, he was older. You're older.
Oh really?
So you're one grade below.
Marshall, we covered that a few minutes ago. You may have been.
Well, I wasn't paying attention, Dennis.
You're digging in the mud.
Yeah. Oh, good. Come.
Okay. I've got one, Pam, for you from Claudia. And she writes, how did you survive the delivery of Ross? Like, I've had a baby, but only 7 pounds, and in the hospital. I don't think people know how the details of his birth and how amazing you were through it. I know pieces, so I'm very curious. And also, Claudia says, please tell Pam that we love you, Pam, very much.
Oh, I love everyone.
That's true.
Out there.
We love you, Pam.
We love you, Claudia.
And Ross still is a big baby.
And yeah. I love you, Pam.
Yeah, we've never talked about this. So
yeah,
first off, I'm sorry. Now he did that on purpose. Let's hear your thoughts.
Oh well, I you were my third baby, so by the time I had you, I thought I'm really a pro with this, and I thought I would go to a midwife if I could.
So, hey, how big were Jill and Kristen?
Kristen was 9 pounds. Jill was 7 pounds.
Those are still, you know,
like decently sized babies.
Yeah. Yeah, but Ross was 11 pounds. And Marshall, you were 10 and a half.
I was 10 and a half?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I've been telling everybody I was 14.
So. Well, I did it. I don't know how I did it. I wanted out of there, but
yeah.
You've got to
fist
do it.
Bump you can't on stop. That. Did you do any, did you need like epidurals or anything?
It was Ross, no.
What?
Nothing.
All fun. Natty?
Yeah.
Wow. You bit the bullet.
Well, you couldn't. Jeez. I was at a midwife.
Oh, man.
They can just rub your back and
all right, Mom,
be sweet to you.
When I don't understand something, I take offense to it. And so I don't know what midwife means. So I'm going to take this with someone that has your baby for you. Okay.
Yeah.
I know you and Dad did that. So the next question is.
You're a mess, Marshall.
I think there's no more questions.
Oh,
yeah, there's
good.
Last one. There's one more after this. I have enjoyed watching the Iron Claw cast.
That's more of a statement, but that is an.
We love you, Melinda. And another thing I want to know, Dennis, is I'm assuming this is your fault, but how come our Twitter page is Iron Claw Cast 1?
Because we're number one, and we will continue to be number one. But I didn't register the Twitter. I think one of you guys did.
Oh, I see what you're doing. You made a mistake. You want to put it back on me. That things don't go that way, Dennis.
You're muddy.
Let me tell you something.
A little bit, Mud Pit. You're muddying the waters. I'm just saying. Pam, yes. I have another question for you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Pam, Brent Stein, our buddy Brent, wants to know, aside from playing with the grandkids, what's your most other favorite thing to do on a daily basis?
See my kids come in every day. I love that. And seeing the grandkids come in every day. It's just so fun to show them something new every day. And Kevin is just, whatever they want to do, he's out there with them. You know, I love it. Watching my family grow.
Watching us grow. I'm still growing. Doctor says I'm going to be like 6'9".
Maybe like.
But, okay, so I hope you guys enjoyed that segment with our mother. And so I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you, Mom, for having us.
Thank you for coming on.
Mom's on, everybody. There's her hand. Yeah. Just joking.
Look at that ring. Oh,
that was some lady we took off the street.
So boastful.
Hello, everybody. We're the Von Erich Brothers with the Iron Claw Cast. Hey, Ross, I got a question for you. When you want a good beer, a good IPA, that is, what's your choice?
When I want a great beer by a great company and great people, I look no further than Vitamin C Brewing, the best beer on planet Earth, and that's a fact.
They also have sick gear. Sick gear, good beer. VSB, everybody. Go support them.
All right, guys, I have to give you props. I have to give you props on that because, you know, originally your mom was just going to answer the questions and you guys were going to read her answers on the Clawcast. The fact that she came and sat right next to you, amazing. Good job.
It's called pity. It's called pity, and I'm great at it. I can get what I need by having people feel sorry for me.
That seems
been to work a tool well. Of mine for a long time.
That seems to work very well for you. So
at least I know your tactic, which is grossing people out. So they just want you to.
I got a good question.
Okay,
this is an awesome guy. Just super supportive. You know, kind of just became friends, messaging back and forth. But let's get this question. Christian Kempo says he just wanted to get our thoughts on what if we were to do like an MLW versus Japan type of deal. Said there's so many great tag teams in Japan that you and your bro could tear the house down with and gain some new experience going toe-to-toe with Japan's finest. The possibilities are endless. You know, we agree, you know.
That'd be awesome. Like what tag teams we want to work with?
Yeah. Let's
in New Japan or just any Japanese promotion?
Let's just say, well, because right now, I guess Noah and MLW we're kind of working with Noah right now.
They are also working with New Japan too. I don't know what exactly they're
doing.
That's right. Yeah. But honestly, anybody in like we started off in Japan. We were like not many Americans are able to be or young boys, and that's what the Japanese call them. It's someone that is. Starts in Japan, and we didn't get treated like foreigners. We got treated like Japanese young boys, and so it's all about respect, cleaning the dojo, and it just gave us a whole new respect for wrestling. And we needed to get
that into us. Yeah, because we were just sort of when we got into it a little indifferent. We're just like, okay, we're doing this wrestling thing.
Yeah, do we want to do this? Do we not want to do this? Because we both, you know, wanted to play football. I was gonna do track and all this stuff, but. Harley Race had a great talk with us. And then, you know, there's this guys in Japan that would just come in at the perfect timing. And then those of you don't know the whole going on the roof and seeing my dad and Uncle Dave's initials on there, that was really like confirmed we were supposed to be where we be there. But, you know, honestly, anybody in Japan, anytime one thing Japanese wrestling does for you is they pound the fundamentals of wrestling into you. Like it was so valuable. The time there was so valuable. We learned so much, and all we did was eat, breathe, live wrestling for, you know, 90 days straight, come home for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks and then straight back 90 days. And it was hard. The homesick stuff was hard, but that was the greatest part, the most valuable part of our careers, I believe.
Yeah. Kind of like the Navy SEALs going through that,
yeah.
You know, hell week sort of thing. It was, for us, that's kind of how it was.
I have a good friend right now. He's a younger guy. He's real smart. He's from Israel. And so I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but he had to join the military because everybody does in Israel once I guess you hit 18. And I see it. Ross sees it. We believe this kid's going to be great one day because he's just so smart. He's so wise. But he didn't want to join the military just yet. And, you know, we didn't want to go to Japan. If we would have known how hard Japan was at that time when I was 18, 19, I probably wouldn't have wanted to go. But having a brother helped so much because he's doing it. I can't go home if he's committed. We're both just strengthened each other in that. But if God's going to do something great with you, there's got to be, you know, the glory's in the struggle. There's got to be, you know, you're not going to be great at everything immediately. Football, track, I was horrible the first 2 years. Wrestling, we can honestly say we weren't very good for a really long time, and it was just till we got repetition, seasoned, and worked in different countries, we're working in different styles, and then all of a sudden you're just wrestling, and there's always that question, like what if the guy does this, what if he does something I've never seen before, and then you wrestle enough, you've pretty much seen a little bit of everything. And so you're like, you have answers for everybody's moves and offensive moves and stuff. And so like you don't neglect the hard stuff. If it's hard, you will grow from it. And one day that won't be as challenging. Like public speaking was a huge fear of ours. Dennis, you know that. It was my biggest fear. I hated public speaking. I'm like great in front
most
of
people.
I'm great in front of like a, I'm worse in like a small group of people than I'm like a big crowd. But public speaking was like the biggest fear ever. And not till we went, we were going to talk to the school. It was a high school kid. So it was a tough crowd. We didn't know. We thought we were going to talk to the classroom. We walked into the school like during a pep rally, and they just handed us a microphone. We're 5 minutes
silence. We're like 5 minutes late. Everyone's just sitting there waiting.
Everyone's just sitting there. They just give you a microphone. All right, go. Looking at Ross and like, you want to go? But it was nerve wracking. We were with our brother Hunter Hayes and Jerry Bostic for a World Class Revolution. Submerged us into it. You know, it was just like, okay, we're here.
Sometimes the best experience is just dive in, throw you in the water, sink or swim, you know, and you learn from so much, failure than you do from, that wasn't a failure. That was a victory. You learn from it.
I'm glad you guys brought that up because I people that follow you probably know this, but maybe not everybody, that you guys really worked your way from the ground up in Japan, Harley Races School, doing the independent circuits. It's not like you shot to the top immediately because you're Kevin's sons. You guys went.
That's what people expected, though. You know that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought, especially in the very beginning of our career, they're like, "Oh, these guys, they're gonna be this way." I just know it, you know. And we've always had that chip on our shoulder, trying to disprove that. We wanted to be humble and the hardest workers there. And,
you know, there's a lot of people too, the keyboard warriors or whatever, but. It's being young, being 18 and stuff. You do read the comments and stuff, like, you know, I don't let them get to my head and stuff. But when we're in Japan, we knew we were terrible. And then, you know, you have guys coming in there pointing out the obvious. These guys suck. These guys are horrible. These guys, you know.
Like,
and,
yeah, I know. It just really, started.
Yeah.
But no, it's true, though.
But if, like, when you get encouragement at that age, like Chavo did. Chavo, he – we knew we weren't very good, but he came up to us and he told us about the potential we had and all this stuff, and told us what we need to do and bring our relationship into our wrestling. That has helped so much. And to know that somebody was like, no, keep going. Cause we had that confirmation with the initials and stuff, but we still weren't very good, you know? And so it's,
I know, it really is time. I think it was TJP that said, like, most guys, they don't even really hit their stride until about year 8 in the business, you know. And that's
like right now, wrestling is the only sport, I believe, that you get better through time. Like, you can be 40 and be in your prime because it's about working with the crowd, and it's not experience.
Yeah, so
it's not 100% athletic ability. It's you know, using it's being smart and stuff. And I was honestly 18. I felt the best. My body was probably in the best shape and nothing hurt on me and stuff. And, but I just wasn't ready. If we would have got thrown into like the fire, signed a big contract, went to a big company, we would have embarrassed ourselves and we probably would have, I don't know, like oversaturated ourselves. It wouldn't have been the right time. But now we finally feel like we're ready to wrestle full time. And now we're comfortable enough where we can, you know? And so, It took a lot of time to get there, and being in Hawaii, we didn't have enough repetition. So we worked with each other a lot.
No, it's been like a really slow and steady, kind of, you know, like most wrestlers, I feel like, you know, just kind of shoot up, explode and, you know, little this or that and up, you know, ours has just been, you know, constant, like up, down, but we've been consistently getting better.
Killer Cross is like that. That guy, when I found out he's only been wrestling for like a few years, some people are just so natural at it. He's like, we both think that he's going to be in movies one day. He's
going to be in some Marvel film for sure.
Yeah, great wrestler, great facial expressions, great promos.
Good-looking guy.
Yeah, good look. He really has got it all. And WWE just signed him, and so we're expecting that to happen. But we wrestled on his last we wrestled with him in Philadelphia. Last time we were in Philadelphia, and we tagged with him, and it was awesome. But, so one thing I wanted to talk about is my cousin Lacey is going around doing videos and stuff. I don't know exactly what it's for, but I read some of the comments and stuff, and
like you really have to understand Lacey. Yeah. She's like,
she's just a prankster. She's always joking, always laughing. That's
she's
what we love
she's just like my Uncle Kerry. Like everything, life is just a whole, it's funny. Everything is just tries to make the most like.
And when her and my sister are together, they of course take it way too far.
Yeah.
And our cousin Lacey, that's, I read some of the comments and people think she's being serious and asking dumb questions or whatever. She literally does not care what anybody thinks. I promise. Does not care.
Like everybody says that, but she literally does not care. She does not care. And she would laugh.
She's only doing it to make herself laugh. And maybe my sister Joe, because they're so close. But she does stuff to make herself laugh. And I admire that, honestly, because I think
I do too.
It's really cool. Like you tell her, like, "Oh, that fan said that." She's like, "That doesn't define me. I don't care at all." She's a great mom. She's a great cousin. Beautiful, great athlete, freak athlete.
She's an incredible athlete.
But we
so
do
is Holly.
Yeah,
her other cousin.
Yeah, her other cousin Holly, great athlete. But yeah, it's she's we love Lacey, and she's getting misunderstood, I guess, but some people get it. Some people know that she's like
because we know her, every time we see her do anything, it's just hilarious, funny.
Yeah.
Cause she's just like our sister. She's an Atkinson. We just know her.
Yeah. We know her so well. And that's the thing. When we went to North Texas and wrestled at the stadium, she was just cracking us up the whole time. And she told us, she's like, "I didn't want to get back into wrestling, but now hanging out with you guys, I'll wrestle if you guys are around.
Like, if you guys want me to, I'll do it." You know, like,
we just love her so
she's
much.
She's just so lighthearted. Like, we both wish we could be more like that.
Yeah. And she did a backflip in heels off the top turnbuckle and like punctured two holes into the mat.
And she's like laughing.
She's
like
a freak athlete, freak of nature.
Man. I remember being backstage on that show, and she came up to me. She goes, "Now, who are you?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm, you know, with Ross and Marshall. I've been doing their agent work and everything." She goes, "Okay, well, I need you to go grab me this. I need you to do this and do that." I was like,
"Yeah." So that's her. She's probably just trying to get under your skin. She does that stuff for fun.
Yeah, like treat you like a butler just because it's funny. You know, like,
I would. How about what if we have her on the show sometime?
I'd love to. Yeah. I reached out to her. Hey, if anybody's watching, or if anybody's in contact with Lacey, I've sent you a message and asked you if you want to be on the show. Haven't got a response. So fans, will you send this to Lacey? Yeah. Let her hear this. Please be on our show.
Lacey, come hang out with your cousin.
And Lacey, we'll do a trivia contest. If I win, I'll be your butler. If you win,
Zip it, Dennis. Sorry, Lacey.
That's my challenge to you, Lacey. Right there. It just got put down right there.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Chill out, you two.
You can mow my yard with the push mower.
Lacey would destroy you. Also, we wanted to address too that our friend Jim Cornette talked about Lacey's videos and stuff. And I think he did. I don't know if he thought or he didn't know it was a work. I think because he just thought she was being dumb, you know. And it was funny and stuff. But he said really nice stuff about us. And, you know, like everyone's got their Jim Cornette opinion. Some people hate him. Some people love him. And from what we know of him and we're having the experiences we've had with him, one of the funniest guys I've ever met.
What you see is what you get. And you just got to embrace him as a character. He's Jim Cornette.
And he's a great mind for wrestling. He has the best angles. He had this talk with us when we were doing promos one day in MLW, and we didn't even know who we were yet as wrestlers, and he told us,
he's like, "This is who you are."
Yeah.
And he
fightful, it's right, honor you honor your word, you do good, you're, and I was just like, it just made us love the guy, and we couldn't believe people had bad things to say about him. But he just voices his opinion, and that's not always
brutally honest, whatever. I mean, what he believes, you know.
Yeah. And not everybody likes that. We understand it. And you know, he's been honest about our family and stuff, and talked about our family's past and all that stuff. But you know, we're Ross and Marshall Von Erich. We recognize our past, our family's past, and we're glad it happened because it brought us to where we're at. We wouldn't be here without our family. And yeah, and so now we honor the name by continuing the legacy.
We just want to build, if we can, you know, build off of that.
Yeah. And then hopefully our sons are greater than we are. You know, that's the plan. I just want my son to be a better man than me.
That's not that high of a bar. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, Okay.
Left yourself open on that. But you know what, Marshall? You're absolutely right. You guys are setting a great example, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, just rewind back when I was working with you guys and you're doing the independent circuits, and I know you guys were raw and were learning, but the feedback always was, what great guys Marshall and Ross kids are. They're respectful, they're hardworking, they're polite, they're easy to talk to, easy to get along with. Everybody said, and they said, we just love them. And they instantly came in and brought an energy to the back room that was great. So
that means a lot, because yeah, you know, we're both pretty like reserved guys. I'm louder around my brother because that's just how we are together. But you know, it's like we had like anxiety issues when we first started wrestling. We get so like just nervous and didn't want to screw up, didn't want to embarrass our family, didn't want to embarrass ourselves and all this stuff. And what helped was, you know, just talking to other people. And for some reason, when you're a really intense situation, like things are about to get intense, you're like, the weirdest stuff is interesting. Like you get into we're getting ready to get on the bus to go to a venue and there's like a movie on. For some reason, you get so into it.
Because you just want to escape reality for a second.
Yeah. And then once it's over, though, that's the best feeling. Like, I'm not gonna tell them the weird stuff we do before shows, like setting up, putting a bag on the floor.
No,
like,
you might as well say it now. Go ahead.
Nobody's gonna understand it. Sometimes, like before we'll go like to a show, we'll be in the hotel room. Like, are you ready? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna set this bag right here. And I put it here when I was really nervous and worried about the match. When we come back, it's gonna be a great show. Like, do really weird stuff that only we understand, I guess. And come back and the bag's still there.
Yeah. So speaking of matches, I see that there's a match with you, Marshall, and Filthy Tom Lawler.
That's right. And so Tom thinks it's going to be a walk in the park because my knee is bad. Honestly, I just been wanting to get my hands on him. Win, lose, I don't care. I just want to smack the guy around a little bit. And what he did for the flag, I just want to answer to what he did to the flag. He threw our Texas flag in a trash can in front of all these Texans. And so I owe the Texans, I owe to everybody for a good old fashioned Texas butt whooping coming Tom's way, served up.
And I wouldn't expect anything less, you know.
Yeah. He's a ground guy though. I'm sure he's going to attack this knee. That's why I'm trying not to sell it.
But you're not backing down whatsoever. No. I just like the attitude just pumps me up.
I'm going to try not to let my temper get in the way because that happens a lot. I'll get overly angry and it'll get the best of me. But, yeah, I know he's going to be coming after this knee. I've tried not to sell as much. But, yeah, the doctors, they still want me to be, like, on crutches. And not, so I've since this is fight week, I had made myself not use crutches. I'm starting to try to jog and stuff. And we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully – the adrenaline and anger takes over. Hopefully it's chaos.
It will. But okay, so question for you. Is that match going to be televised on Vice or is it going to be online only? Do you guys know? Because the announcement about MLW is going to be on Vice TV, which is...
Yeah, it is going to be on Vice TV. And yeah, because they did Dark Side of the Ring. I guess Vice and pro wrestling are starting to get along. Good. And so, yeah, I guess MLW got in contact.
Yeah, with I'm not 100% if it's now or if it's me.
Yeah, I'm not sure when exactly.
It could be. I'm not. Yeah, certain.
Well, we'll keep you posted on our Twitter. We'll keep you posted in terms of the match details. But no, that's great. I'm glad you're taking him on again.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He's gonna get a good old fashioned butt kicking. Ross is gonna kick any of his little goofy friends too.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu guy.
But you know, I got some house renovations I got to do, guys. We thank you. We love every one of you.
Wait a second. We're not done yet.
I'm done.
You two jokers did not call me yesterday, and yesterday was my birthday. So now, on the count of three, you're going to sing happy birthday.
Hey, in all fairness, I saw that it was your birthday on Facebook, and I liked it. Okay.
I didn't see that.
I called you a day before your birthday, told you happy birthday, and I mailed you a present, okay? Didn't get better than that.
1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you.
Is that what we're doing?
Okay, that's good. That's good enough. Close enough. Happy birthday. All right. Okay. All right, we're going to wrap this up.
Broke my microphone, boy.
Hey, that's not my fault. That's your Grover Sesame Street character. So, Ross, while Mars is fixing the microphone, let's remind our great fans out there where all they can find Von Erichs and Iron Claw Cast. Are we good?
What is it? Spotify, Apple, YouTube, all the platforms, basically. We're there. Check us out. Twitter, Iron Claw Cast, or YouTube, the Iron Claw Cast. You'll find us.
Okay. Excellent. Now, we've got a lot more episodes coming up. We've got some great guests that are going to be in store.
Oh, yeah. We got some guests lined up, folks. Dude. We're working on some big guests.
They're going to be huge. It's going
to
be
all big.
We can't wait. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. On behalf of Ross and Marshall, as well as Pam, Von Erich.
That was epic. That was great.
I'm D-Man, Dennis Crosby. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, stay clarific.